Our scripture reading this morning comes from John 20. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. While the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and she wept. She stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angel asked her. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they've put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go and find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave him his message. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them his wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy that they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hand and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he turned to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." This is God's word.
Whoa, what are you doing?
What an Easter egg hunt. What are you doing?
I thought that was just for the kids.
I'm not looking for like the little chocolate ones or anything. I'm looking for the golden egg.
Oh, the one with the money in it?
This one has a lottery ticket.
Oh, even better.
I know. You think I'm joking about this, but I'm perfectly serious. Today is my lucky day.
Why? What's so special about today?
Lunch is on me later. Well, today is the 21st. It's April 21st, and 21 is my lucky number.
Okay, but you do know there's a 21st every month, though, right?
Yeah, I know that. But last month, on March 22nd, I lost my lucky rabbit's foot.
Uh-huh.
And this month, on April 21st, I found it again.
Is that even a rabbit's foot?
Legend has it that my great-granddad shot it himself. Story goes, bagged it with a Hail Mary hip shot. Before I used a cannon. Anyway, it's been in our family ever since and brought me luck this whole time. Wait.
What are you doing? You're freaking me out. What are you doing?
Make a wish.
On what?
Your eyelash.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Do you mind?
Sure.
Thanks.
What did you wish for?
Well, that I would find the golden egg.
Oh. Well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
You don't really believe all this stuff, do you?
Well, sure. Easter's a time to believe in stuff. Eyelashes, resurrections, lottery tickets.
Whoa, wait. Go back. What did you say? No, the resurrection part.
Well, yeah, it's Easter, you know, when Jesus rose again from the grave.
Yes.
Well, there's more proof that my lucky rabbit's foot works.
No, actually there's not.
Well, I disagree. My granddad gave this to me last year.
Uh-huh.
And do you know what happened the very day he gave it to me?
What?
I found $20 in my underwear
drawer. Okay, is that where you hide your money, though?
Apparently.
All right.
Anyway, I'm just saying that this time of year is the time to believe in unbelievable things.
So you think the resurrection is unbelievable?
Well, don't you? Hold that thought. I found it! Boom, See? It worked.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You have more faith in your rabbit's foot and wishing on eyelashes than you do in the resurrection.
Well, don't get all bent out of shape over everything. Maybe my rabbit's foot worked, maybe it didn't. All I'm saying is, I had it, I found the egg. I come to church every Sunday, they talk about the resurrection. Maybe the stories are true, maybe they're not. I hope they're true, but there's no real way to tell. All I can do is hope.
Well, you're wrong, James. There is an element of our faith that's just that, faith. But Jesus didn't ask us to blindly believe. He left us convincing proof.
Like what?
Like the disciples. Jesus was crucified. They scattered. Within weeks, they were back on the street proclaiming him as the Messiah. Something happened. And what about the Gospels? They're different enough to prove that they have the same content, but similar enough to prove they had the same content, but different enough to prove that they have different authors? And what about the empty tomb? Even secular historians believe that the tomb was empty on Easter Monday.
You know what?
What?
I think that's a penny over there.
Oh, my God. Are you even listening to me, James?
This is my lucky day. Rabbit's foot, golden egg.
Oh.
Penny. I'm going to be a millionaire.
Don't step on a crack.
Oh. Thanks.
Would you take these thoughts and breathe your life, Lord, into them? May we, as a result, encounter you, allowing your resurrection life to break into our life. In your name, Jesus, amen. It was a dark, sorrowful weekend. All the hopes and dreams that they had in Jesus seemed lost. They had listened to all that he had said. They had watched all that he had done. And then to see him condemned, beaten, nailed to a cross, die and placed in a tomb sealed with a stone, seemingly cut off from them forever. It all seemed so humiliating, so final, so tragic. This isn't the way it was supposed to end. If you've stood by the graveside of someone that you love, you'll have a sense of how they felt that day. But we can come today rejoicing, celebrating that is not the end of the story. The stone has been rolled away. He has risen. Pastor Phil Calloway tells of driving his 5-year-old son past a local cemetery and noticing a large pile of dirt beside a newly excavated grave. The boy pointed and said, "Look, Dad, one got out." Calloway laughed at the time, but he writes, "Every time I pass a graveyard, I'm reminded of the one who got out." Jesus wasn't buried in the ground with dirt over him. He was placed in a tomb. And the tomb that Jesus was in would have been excavated out of a rock, sealed with a large disc-like stone, weighing hundreds of pounds. This morning, I want us to consider the stone. We come today celebrating that he is the one that got out. We've placed flowers on the cross, sung powerful songs, heard a beautiful solo, and laughed at a drama. But does Easter make a difference as we walk out of here? Are you and I living each day with the truth that he has risen? Or are we living as if he is still in the tomb? Is there a stone in your way from experiencing the reality of his resurrection? I think there are 4 stones that can get in our way from encountering the risen Lord. Fear, which Gail addressed in her prayer. Discouragement, doubt, and guilt. And we can see these reflected here in this, the people that we come upon in John chapter 20. The first stone is that of fear. John 20 verse 1 says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark." It's interesting that she comes while it is still dark. Darkness in John's gospel is used as a literary device to denote being lost, confused, lacking understanding. Mary is grief-stricken, confused, lost. And as she approaches the tomb, she stops at a distance and sees that the stone has been rolled away. But she doesn't run to the tomb. She runs back to Peter and John, afraid that someone has taken Jesus' body. It appears to her that grave robbers have broken in and they have stolen the body. In her fear and her fretful grief, Mary draws the most negative of all conclusions. Worry, anxiety, fear can overwhelm us with a thick shadow of darkness, controlling every move, every decision, blocking us from encountering Jesus. Later on, as was read, Mary's standing by the tomb and she turns around and she sees Jesus. But the text tells us that she doesn't know that it's him. She again has this stone of fear blocking her sight. She thinks he is the gardener because she's looking for Jesus as a corpse. When he speaks her name, and then she sees that it's Jesus, she clings to him as if to say, "Oh, Jesus, it's you. Well, let's take back where we were before the crucifixion." She's still missing the truth. She's not just to see him as a corpse that has come back to life, but to be able to see who he really is, that he is the Lord. When she leaves and she goes and she finds the disciples, she is at that point able to say, "I have seen the Lord." Mary's stone of fear was rolled away, and she encountered the risen Lord. What fears are holding you back this day? blocking you like a stone from Jesus. N.T. Wright comments, people today are afraid of Easter for different reasons. The gatekeepers of modern Western society have decreed that religion is dangerous nonsense. That if there is a God, he's a long way away and only interested in your private spiritual life. That progress, technology, and science are in charge and taking us toward a golden future. And that dead people do not rise. Many of us, on account of fear, tend to place the most negative interpretations upon our daily life. Fear blocks us in many ways, hindering us from moving forward and seeing the power of Jesus in our lives. Fear often results in depression. Fear can lead us into sin, doing things to protect ourselves. It can paralyze us and prevent us from doing God's will. There is such tragedy going on in the world around us today. Conflicts, persecution, crime, natural disasters, bombings. We can fear what's next. Fear for others and fear for ourselves. But Psalm 46:2 tells us that we're not to fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. What fear is blocking your way? Is it worried about what coming to Jesus will mean? Fear of the unknown. Afraid of what people will think or maybe what they have said. Maybe you're afraid of what God might be calling you to do. Whatever the stone of fear that's blocking your way, Jesus says in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." The next stone that I want us to consider is that of discouragement. And here I want to look at John. And John is the one who wrote this gospel, so he doesn't have his name in there. But he is the one that outruns Peter, but he hesitates at the tomb. He doesn't go in. He hangs back. John's hopes were dashed. Hopes of the last 3 years just kind of seemingly crushed completely, gone forever. He's been faithful. He's been following Jesus, trusting Jesus. And then now, could he, after the crucifixion, just take one more step and face another disappointment? Have you maybe felt like John? Are there things going on in your life that you just don't understand? Feeling like you've faced disappointment over and over and don't want to take another step. Alicia, a pastor's wife, shared online. She said, "If I were to be really honest, this Easter, it feels like something is missing. I feel far from God, and Easter feels more like a ritual than a reason to celebrate." And then she writes to the reader, "You're not sure how to make sense of what you're feeling. You do believe in Jesus and know that you're saved only by his sacrifice, which we celebrate at Easter. But it's like there's a barrier between what you believe and how you feel." And she goes on to say, "God, help me to celebrate Easter with joy, not because of my earthly emotions, but because my faith-based, confident trust in the truth of who you are." Sometimes life is incredibly hard. We can face discouragement. We can feel removed. But during these times, we must not let our emotions take over and nullify the truth that he is Lord, that he is risen, and that he has conquered death. John takes the step and goes into the tomb. And there he believes. He grasps the significance of the grave clothes. John perceived that the missing body and the position of the grave clothes was not due to a robbery. He saw the burial wrappings lying there in the shape of the body, and the body gone. The grave clothes were lying just like an empty cocoon. The cloth was for the face was carefully folded, just lying off by itself. It was not the scene of a grave robbery. Jesus had risen from the dead and had passed through the grave clothes. John rolls away the stone in his heart. He steps into the tomb and believes. Have the courage to step beyond your discouragement and find hope. And then there's Thomas. We see here the stone of doubt. When the disciples tell him, "We've seen the Lord," he replies, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." Thomas doubted how Jesus could have risen from the dead. He had to see it for himself to believe. If we're honest, do we often come with doubts? Can you relate to Thomas? How can this be? How could the resurrection have occurred? And if you think back to December, when we celebrated Christmas, it seems people accept the idea of Jesus as a baby. The image is sweet, gentle, easy to imagine. But rising from the dead? That seems to be another matter. This seems so far-fetched. And people have expressed doubts over the years about the resurrection, suggesting many theories as to what else transpired. One theory is that Jesus wasn't really dead, that he didn't die on the cross. They refer to this as the swoon theory, and that as he was in the cold tomb, that then revived him. But Romans knew how to kill people, and they made sure that he was dead. And think of how he reappeared to everyone. He didn't appear battered and exhausted, you know, barely able to function. Another theory is that the disciples stole the body. But Pilate had the tomb guarded, and along with the guards, he put a seal on the stone. And anyone found breaking a Roman seal would suffer the punishment of an unpleasant death. Maybe the stone also we know it was very heavy, so that would have been very difficult to move. And how do you explain the difference in their lives after the resurrection? They were clearly changed. Many of the disciples were put to death because they were proclaiming Jesus' resurrection. It's highly unlikely that they would all choose to die merely for something that was just made up. And I already mentioned those grave clothes. If robbers or the disciples had taken the body, well, they could not have gotten the body out of the grave clothes without tearing them and disarranging them. And one thing of value was, because of the spices, which were so expensive, would have been those burial cloths. And then what about all the people, all the stories you hear, who saw Jesus after the resurrection? When faced with the incredible proclamation that Jesus rose from the dead, we can doubt it. But Jesus doesn't reject us for our doubts. He came back and he appeared to Thomas. We don't have that opportunity of touching his hands and seeing the imprints of the nails. So Jesus pronounced a blessing on us all who had come to faith without a visible bodily manifestation. The blessing comes to all who believe. We are not deprived by not seeing him physically. Instead, we are the recipients of his special blessing. He declared, "Blessed are those who have seen and yet have believed." We can doubt the reality of Easter, but when we do, we miss out on the impact in our life, what it means today and what it means tomorrow. Another stone I want to mention is that of guilt. We don't see that reflected here in this passage, but we see it later on in the life of Peter. Because of the guilt and the shame that he felt over denying Jesus, he blocked his heart from receiving God's love and forgiveness. Are you holding back? Because you think that who you are and what you have done prevents you in some way from coming to Jesus. That somehow he will disapprove, be angry or disappointed with you. We can close our hearts to God's love, thinking that our sinful choices have blocked the way. But nothing can separate us from his love. Romans 8:34-35 tells us, "For Christ died for us and was raised to life for us, and he's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us? Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Verse 37 assures us, no. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Jesus reached out to Peter. Peter had denied Jesus, but Jesus gave him a fresh start. He offers that to us today. Don't let your past prevent you from receiving Jesus' love. Easter, the day one got out, is not something that we're just to ponder once a year. This changes everything on every day. The resurrection matters. It changes everything. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read, "And if Christ weren't raised, then all you're doing is wandering about in the dark, as lost as ever." The text goes on to say, "The truth is that Christ has been raised up. He still exists, and he is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. We can encounter him today because he is alive. He's overcome sin and death. He set us free. He's victorious. Our past is dealt with and our future secure. We can live resurrection life in the power of the Holy Spirit. For the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us." A day after the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris caught fire, this photo was taken. You see how the smoke continues to rise from the ashes. But through all the destruction, there was this cross appearing to glow on the altar. Amidst the fear, discouragement, doubt, and guilt, Jesus has risen. The truth of what happened that Easter morning cannot be destroyed. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, a new power has been released into the world. Easter isn't the end of the story. As we've been working our way through the book of Acts, and we'll get back to that next week, we've seen the impact of the resurrection. Even amidst all the trouble and the persecution that the early church went through, they grew. They knew that Jesus was with them, that he was Lord. At the heart of Easter is a reality that changes you and me and changes all of creation. Fear. Disappointment. Doubt. Guilt. Do one of these stones need to be rolled away so that you can step into new life in Christ, knowing his peace, hope, love, and power? May the stone be rolled away so that you can encounter the risen Jesus. He has risen. He has risen indeed. Will you pray with me? Loving Heavenly Father, I pray with the Apostle Paul that those gathered here today would understand the incredible greatness of your power for us who believe. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at your right hand in the heavenly realms. Help us to step out of our darkness and roll away these stones, Lord, that block us from knowing your love and your power in our lives. Lord, be more present to us than we are to ourselves, and more present than anyone or anything in this world. We praise you this Easter morning. Change our lives, change our hearts, that we may come awake and live each day, Lord, in the power of your resurrection. Because of what you have done, Jesus, I pray. Amen. have some stones. And if it helps you in your walk, and just what you are welcome to do is to take one of these stones. If you know, you can see that there is something blocking my way to Jesus. You can come, you can take one of these stones and then place it in the bowl that's there on the communion table. Doing this is just a gesture of, yes, Lord, I release this. I roll this stone away from myself. You can do this as we sing this final song, or if you want, you can just come and take it and do it at the end of the service as we leave and then go celebrate and have coffee together. So let's stand now. I invite you, if you would like, come forward and sing Christ is Risen.